It's time for Off the Curve with Justin Spearman.
Welcome to Off the Curb. It is a crazy, crazy time in East Lansing and really across the nation because, let's face it, Urban Meyer is in fact a national story. And this is going to be a really interesting dive into what's going on up there, if anything at all. Obviously, we all have heard the reports out there. Michigan State, Urban Meyer might be a thing. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic comes out firebombing that right away. Let's get to the bottom of this. The origin of the original report. You know, I got to say, I've heard your name pronounced a couple of different ways in interviews, Bernie. Is it Bernie Fratto? Fratto? How do we say that?
Fratto, you nailed it right out of the gate.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But you did an interview with someone that called you Fratto, and I was looking for the EAU. I'm like, I don't think this.
I usually just let it go. It's Italian calibre. It's 100%. You know, as long as you don't pronounce it Janowski, I just let it go.
Yeah, I get called Spiral all the time. So, yeah, I feel your pain and it does not bug me too much. So, obviously, you know why we're here. I'm fascinated by this. So, I do have my own sort of quasi background on this stuff, but people already know that watch this show. I'm curious for what you know and what you can bring to the table here, because what you purport to know in your report does not align with what I have. Not that it contradicts, it's just it's gaps in my knowledge, perhaps. So, I'm curious where you got here with this report. So you come out and we can, Ben, if you can throw up the original tweet from Bernie. So this is you saying on Twitter, my best mole tells me Urban Meyer will interview with Michigan State for their head coaching position. Stay tuned. Yes, it's real. It's possible. He has a lot of backers. So we'll see where this goes. What's going on with Urban Meyer and Michigan State, Bernie?
So let's take it from the top, and I have to give you a bit of a preamble, but let me just start by saying, Justin, I have not predicted that Urban Meyer will be the next head coach at Michigan State, nor will that we ultimately ever be offered the job. However, what I am reporting, and I am absolutely sticking to, is the fact that there have been exploratory discussions, there have been conversations, and it's in the interviews in the colloquial sense, and very trusted sources that I've known for decades going back that are very well-connected people, in finance, in coaching, in business, boosters, I've confirmed with three independent sources that Urban Meyer was in East Lansing this last week. And no one has debunked it yet, okay? Bruce Feldman can say, I talked with Urban Meyer, he's not interested. Well, that's vague. That's obtuse. Not interested in what? I reached out to Bruce Feldman and said, hey, why don't you ask him, was he in East Lansing? And I got crickets, okay? Because that's the apex of what I'm reporting now. They are talking, and he's in East Lansing. Now, having said all that, let me back up just a little bit so I can give some folks a little, some perspective. I began my radio career in June of 1994 at WTK in Ann Arbor, flagship of Michigan football. Started covering the strike, doing features. Next thing you know, I had my own show, The View from the Cheap Seats, which is the title of my book. Spent several years there, left right as the Brady years were ending. Graduated and went to 97.1. It was WKRK then, flagship of the Lions, part of the Lions pre and post show for many, many years, ending in 2008, Parker and the Man show. I left Michigan in 2010 and moved to Las Vegas. I was with ESPN 1100 here in Las Vegas, flagship of UNLV Sports, etc. And I was part of that pre and post and many radio shows. And then in 2018, I joined Fox Sports Radio National, where I am now. I just hit my fifth anniversary. I host two shows, the Bernie Fratto Show, Friday night, Saturday night, 11 p.m. Pacific. They're both four-hour shows. And amongst various other duties at Fox Sports Radio, I'm syndicated on 600 stations, Sirius XM Channel 83, and I got a million listeners. Now, why do I share all that? Because in my travels going back to 1994, I've been able to develop quite—I don't know if they use this term anymore—a Rolodex. I know a lot of people, and now I know you, Justin. So the bottom line is this: the same moles that told me Mel Tucker would be getting a $95 million extension a couple years ago, when it was reported he wouldn't be, he might be going to LSU. Gave me the same ones that gave me this, not the exact same ones, but my same circle, Well, sure enough, Mel Tucker got his extension. The same Moles that told me when Jim Harbaugh flew to Minnesota on recruiting day 2022 to interview for the Vikings job, which he believed he was getting, which people reported he was getting. People like, well, I'm not going to name names. Long and short of it is, I reported that there's zero chance he's getting the job. Same Moles told me then that this was a courtesy interview, courtesy of Queasy Adolfo Mensah, their personnel director, who Jim had worked with, Harbaugh had worked with in San Francisco. I was told that the Wolves had already made up their mind about Kevin O'Connell, and there was no way they were going to hire Harbaugh. They didn't care for him that much, and it wouldn't have been done in one day anyway. It would have been a period of time. So when he got back on the plane and came home, people were shocked. I was out ahead of that. I can name all kinds of stories. Same type of mole, same type of process I used in finding this information out now, which brought us together. This one lit the world on fire for multiple reasons, okay? I hate the term perfect storm, but when you juxtapose Urban's final stop at Jacksonville and the fact that he was, you could make the case, people have told me he was forced out at Ohio State, and align that with what's going on with Mel Tucker now, and I'm very, very well versed on that story, and neither side's shorts are clean, the best I can tell, but I'm not going to go down that road today. And then, of course, what I call the 6 degrees of Larry Nassar, which Michigan State can't seem to escape from. It's like, oh, my God, Urban Meyer, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, so there you have it. It's an anathema of people who think this could happen. When I would remind them that go back a year or two, what were they saying about Hugh Freeze? Now he's a head coach in the SEC. What were they saying about Rick Pitino? Pretty good gig. How about Bobby Petrino? How about A.J. Hinch? So when A.J. Hinch had to get before that press conference a couple years ago in Detroit, Justin, you remember the questions he had to answer?
Yeah, about, I mean, they're the questions team. Everyone knew were coming, right? I mean, you know,
right.
But why should you be back in the game and all that stuff?
You nailed it. So the bottom line is this. People should be very dubious about assuming that things just can't happen because it doesn't align with their own moral compass.
Well, I think there's the moral compass thing is a different argument, you know, and that's separate and that's valid. The argument I think that's relevant for the discussion we're having is Michigan State even viable from Urban Meyer's perspective and vice versa? So like what some fan thinks is, you know, a plausible thing for Michigan State to do with optics or whatnot isn't really relevant because the fans aren't going to make this decision. From your conversations, you seem to think that there is mutual interest. Is it correct that from your understanding, both Urban Meyer and Michigan State are entertaining the possibility of a marriage in East Lansing together?
Well, it becomes a semantical conversation, but the short answer is yes. Okay, I'm told by people who know more than I do that Urban Meyer doesn't particularly want to have what happened at Jacksonville as the final line on his Wikipedia page, if you get my drift. He's only 59 years old. He might have one more in him. Now, does he want to go to Michigan State? I don't know. But I do believe there is enough mutual attraction and curiosity to have conversations. And you don't know where they can go. Michigan State's, as is the rest of the Big Ten, is about to tread into pretty deep waters in the next couple of years. Look at the teams that are joining the conference. The Big Ten is very desirable, very attractive. It's got a lot of national notoriety. And Michigan State is really going to have to make a splash. You know, Lance Leipold might be a fine coach, but if he comes here and goes 7-6, they're not going to be thrilled. Same with Dan Dickert. There have already been coaches who said they're not interested. Okay. If Urban is really not interested, I want to hear it from him. And oh, by the way, he denied vehemently that he'd ever go to Ohio State. Guess what? He ended up at Ohio State. This is all referenceable on the internet. He denied that he would go to Jacksonville. He did. You know how these things work. So we don't know how to quantify the level of interest because it's very early in the game. Had a conversation late last night with somebody who told me this is going to be a fluid process until December because I don't think they're going to embarrass Harlan Barnett. They're going to let him finish out the season and as much dignity as he can and keep the thing glued together as best as he can. And for all I know, they can make the hire tomorrow, but not announce it till December. Okay. I don't know any of that. But I do believe it's going to be fluid till December. And until Michigan State has named another coach not named Urban Meyer, this could potentially be alive.
So it's interesting because I understand what you're saying with the no one's proven the East Lansing thing wrong, but there's a degree of proving the negative, because the only way you could prove that he wasn't there would be if he were in public for the entirety of that day and, you know, multiple witnesses saw him or he was on tape. So I can't prove that he wasn't there short of having him surveilled in a place other than East Lansing. So I think that's the fair counter to your argument. It doesn't disprove you. It just counters your logic, right?
Certainly. I mean, you can't prove an esoteric negative if you can't prove you weren't there. Well, I can't do that. Okay. I am leaning and relying on very powerful people that I've known for a long time, independently sourced three different people, that this is going on. Now, at the end of the day, if it all turned out to be, and I, you know, one of two things is going to happen. I feel like the story is being quashed a little bit. Do you, Justin? Just being quashed. It's not exactly
at least not by me. I'm trying to hype it up. That's why you're here. I am the biggest fan of yours right now because you're giving me the affirmation and you're telling me what I want to hear. It's like how the conservatives watch Fox, you know, thing, and liberals watch CNN or MSNBC. Right. I want to amplify you as much as possible because I like the message. But I don't know. I mean, Spartans are there's a few that are burned out on the topic for sure, but I think, you know, in mass, they're riveted by it. I can't speak nationally, but the Spartan fan base is trying to pump it up, if anything, in my opinion.
I don't think you can rule it out. I mean, look, it's funny. I'll go back to Bruce Feldman, who said, you know, it's sort of ironic that, well, I must have done something right because it cost him to allegedly make that phone call, right? He was triggered. And then he tweets it out with reports and quotes, you know, as if I'm some Hammond Hager. So I went back at him and I said, you know, with all due respect, answer the follow-up journalistic question. Was he in East Lansing? Was he or not? Crickets. How hard would it be just to deny it if there's nothing there? So that's, we don't have a whole heck of a lot to work with. I don't have forensic evidence. I didn't see with my own two eyes, but I'll go with what's worked with me in the past. I just gave the Mel Tucker example and I just gave the Jim Harbaugh example, among many others.
I will say, like, for the audience's sake, and I mentioned this on Twitter today before bringing you on, people were asking me right when you tweeted, we got group chats and stuff, and hey, are you going to bring this guy on? And I said, I remembered your name from when you were in market here for almost 20 years, but, you know, obviously you've, you know, since left the state, and I couldn't personally vouch for your credibility either Fair direction. Enough. So I vetted you before bringing you on and, you know, entertaining the idea. And I tried to talk to more people than I did, but I think four is pretty strong. Four of your now former colleagues that different stages in your career, and all four of them said, you can take that guy to the bank. Like, I mean, it's, and again, even you said, you're not reporting he's getting the job, but just that the interest is legitimate. And so for the audience's sake, I just want to clarify for those that didn't see me say that earlier today, I did independently vet this, you know, sort of the credibility of this witness, if you will, to use the court term. You know, I looked into Bernie pretty extensively and looked at his track record with reporting that he mentioned in passing, all that checked out. And his four former colleagues all said he's an honest guy. He knows what he's talking about. Like, the guy doesn't lie about anything, let alone major stuff. Like, your former colleagues speak very, very highly of you. So I'm sure that's nice to hear. So I wanted the audience to know that.
Well, it's very nice to hear. And I would not want to lose my credibility or trust, right? You can build up 20 years of trust and you can lose it in 5 minutes. The bottom line is I would not have gone public with this had not people I trust implicitly that are in very important positions. These are financial people. These are ex-players. These are boosters. These are businessmen that have been around a long time. One of them was connected to Urban back at Bowling Green and had a mutual friend named Joe Sharp. Joe Sharp was the longtime equipment manager of Bowling Green. Urban Meyer loved him. He was there 50 years. My buddy introduced the two of them. And when Joe Sharp died a couple of years ago, Urban was distraught, called somebody I talked to. And so, you know, the world is a smaller place than you think. Although that one comedian says, I wouldn't have to paint it. But you, as you know, you're in the same business I'm in. You can get access to people. And as you build your career over, as I said, since 94, you meet a ton of people along the way. No one likes a name dropper, but I can drop a lot of names. So with respect to that, I'm relying upon people I trust implicitly and independently verified it with three different sources. And so at the end of the day, if this ends up being wrong, I'll take the blame, but I believe my sources. Okay. Having said all that, one way or another, this is going to come to fruition. And I was on an earlier show and they asked me, has anybody come out and debunked this specifically on the record? I said, no, I'm waiting for it to happen. Has anybody said he was not there? No way, no how, was not there. No. How hard would that to be? How hard would that be to have happen? So, I don't want to dwell on that too much. People either believe me or they don't. I don't care. I frankly, honest to God, don't care. I know who I talk to. I know what I know. And at that point, we have to just let the story play out. And therein lies the story, Justin. And I think you've accurately been able to make the distinction and ascertain what we're talking about here. I'm not saying he's got the job. I'm not saying he's even been offered the job. I'm saying that right out of left field, there appears to be exploratory talks. And having said all that, none of us saw the Mel Tucker thing coming to fruition. Could anybody have envisioned what happened with Mel Tucker, Justin? And you're there closer to it than I am.
And you're talking about the fallout or the hiring?
The fallout that led to his firing the other day.
No comment on whether or not I saw.
Okay, the long and short of it is, it happened. He's gone, and now there's a vacuum. There's a big vacuum at Michigan State that needs to be filled. And had that not happened, and people were saying, Mel Tucker's not working out. We'll buy out his contract. They've got three key, boosters that got a lot of money. They've got their name in the press a lot. But no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. This is not a John L. Smith deal. Okay. So, this was an odd sequence of events, right out of a Hollywood script for crying out loud. And all of a sudden, Michigan State's got this vacuum. So look, people ask me, would I be surprised? Nothing surprises me. November 19, 2004, I was doing a radio remote for 97.1 and the palace broke out. I was there. Okay. I would tell a joke. Anything can happen in the world of sports. Bob Uecker once hit a home run off Sandy Koufax. So don't act like this can't happen. I just mentioned Hugh Freeze and some other names.
Well, let's focus, I want to focus on the East Lansing trip and the nature of it specifically, though. So let's say I'm going to say, Bernie, I believe you. I believe you're sourcing on this. The audience member out there, he was in East Lansing on Tuesday. Great. Are we sure he was in East Lansing for the purpose of meeting with Michigan State brass to discuss becoming the head coach at Michigan State? He could have been there as an advisor. His wife might have a sister that lives in the Lansing area that we don't know about. There's a distinction there. Are you sure, or are your sources sure, that Urban Meyer was there specifically to discuss the vacant head coaching position for the Michigan State football team?
I was told he was there to have exploratory discussions about the Michigan State football team. Now, if his wife was there for something else, fine, they can say that. Come out and debunk me. No problem. If they were there because they wanted to have a little meal at the Flapjack Shack, just felt right. Okay, just let me know. I was told he was there to talk turkey, but they're starting out about 30,000 feet. And some of the things I've learned are from my sources. So some of his initial demands may be a little beefy, right? Not that they can't afford it, but they may be a little beefy. And I've heard some boosters and money people are really on board and some other people aren't. I've heard Alan Haller is not too keen about it, which kind of raises the other variable in this story, Justin, and that is who will end up making the next coaching decision anyway? Who will be given the autonomy to do that, if anybody's given the autonomy to do that? When one of the reasons I only give this 30% is because if you recall back in 2014, Justin, when Michigan hired Jim Harbaugh, Michigan and their factions really coalesced. I mean, you had ex-players, you had coaching staff, you had faculty, you had boosters, you had media. They were really pulling the rope on the same direction to get Jim Harbaugh there, and they did it. I think it was December 28, 2014. My great concern as a Spartan alum, which I am not, if you are a Spartan alum and you're rooting for this, My biggest concern would be, can Michigan State coalesce in that same way that Michigan did 9 years ago? Can they do that? It feels, Justin, with all due respect to Michigan State, like a rudderless ship. Who wants to be, does anybody want to be president of that university? Who's in charge? What in the world is going on? How much autonomy does Alan Haller have? I haven't been able to get answers to those questions, but one thing in my observations it's certainly revealed is it just feels like a ship that's adrift right now. So unless you can get all of those factions to combine forces as a force multiplier where the whole becomes better than the sum of its parts to bring in an Urban Meyer, it's going to be pretty difficult. And you know, that's easier said than done. So that, for me, might be a bigger showstopper than anything else.
So I understand what you're saying. I would argue, if anything, there's too many rudders. It's not rudderless. There's too many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing, and the rudders are spinning in too many different directions. But I get what you're saying on the Michigan State side. I happen to agree with a large portion of it. Couldn't I argue that such a discombobulated, disorganized, ununified leadership group up there, if we're going to go with that angle, wouldn't even be able to get Urban Meyer to get on a plane and fly to meet with them? Urban Meyer has a lot of options. Urban Meyer has a lot of cachet. Would he meet with a cobble that in chaos, and would they even have the unity amongst themselves to extend the invitation to him?
I don't know that they would need that unity. Someone's got to spearhead this. Michigan State's got an 8-week lead time on any other school that would be looking for a coach in December, and they'd best take advantage of it. You've got a unique opportunity here to cast a wide net and do a lot of due diligence on a lot of different people. Look, Urban Meyer wanted Bowling Green. He wanted Utah. He wanted Florida. He wanted Ohio State. What's he got? 4 national championships?
3.
So is it 3?
Yeah, 2 at Florida and 1 at OSU.
2 at Florida and 1 at Ohio State. Is that it? Okay.
Yep.
But his record speaks for itself, okay, in the college ranks. And he made Bowling Green very good. He made Utah very good. So
He's 4 for 4. There's no question. And 4 for 4 with resounding success, where all four took massive meteoric rise jumps in year 1. Oh, I mean, it's immediate with him.
No doubt. These schools went from being under 500 teams to big-time winners, or 500 teams to being in the national stage. And look, what did he beat Michigan? 5 times in a row?
7.
Was it 7 times in a row? Okay.
Yeah.
And that's
you know, I mean, I live vicariously through Ohio State a couple times a year. So, yeah, that's.
Well, look, I try to be fair as a journalist. I cover it all. See, yeah. You can talk about Jim Harbaugh all you want, but just make sure you include the part where he's 2-5 against Ohio State. He's 1-6 in bowl games, and he's 0-2 in the playoffs. He's really good against Indiana and Illinois, but you put him on a national stage with Power 5 schools, not so much. Prove me wrong, Michigan. Don't tell me. Show me. I don't have any skin in the game anymore.
I mean, they did just punch Ohio State in the mouth 2 years in a row and won the conference twice.
And I give them top credit for that. I said they were 2-5.
I wish I had their problems these days. I would kill for Michigan's football problems these days. There's not very many of them, but no, I hear you. Overall, Michigan fans tend to get into this, like, the last 2 years are the only 2 years that have ever happened on the face of the earth. And I'm sorry, like, I'm glad that your regime has been redeemed to a certain extent, but it doesn't just wipe out the entire, you know, the record is the record. This may be a more technical question. I'm fascinated by this angle. Do your sources know, or do you know, like, where this actual meeting took place? Because a middle of Tuesday, Urban Meyer walking around campus, that's going to get spotted by somebody.
Oh, no. They'd be far more discreet than that. Did you happen to see the text I sent you about a half hour ago? Some gentleman, I mean, this is picking up a lot of steam. And by the way, not only are 95% of the people on my side, there's a few knuckleheads out there. That just comes with the territory. But some other Twitter site put up this poll, who do you believe, Fratto or Feldman? And it's one of those vote 24-hour things. I'm at 60% and he's at 40. They believe me. So the bottom line is, people will take their sides. To answer your question directly, where did they meet? No, I don't know. What I was going to share with you is, check your text when you get off of our interview.
I saw the map. You said the map.
Yeah, airplane matrix?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Okay.
I didn't check the guy's data, though. I could have put that together in clip art and, you know, no one fact checks me and that's suddenly a legitimate theory. I haven't disproven his theory, but you know.
Well, look, and I'm not going to put on my tinfoil hat and say that's the be all end all there. But what I will say this is, Justin, does it not raise some questions? I don't know. I mean,
it's true. Yeah.
If it's the same plane that's used for Big Noon Kickoff, then he goes to Cincinnati, where Cincinnati's Big Noon Kickoff. Then he goes to Lansing. And now someone even tweeted at me today, they found a flight manifest heading back to Sarasota where he also has, Urban Meyer also has a house. Okay. So I don't want to get into the weeds on that, but go back to your original question. Where do they meet? I don't know. Very discreet somewhere, I'm imagining. Very discreet. There was a plane that landed Tuesday at an airport, the kind that only Tom Izzo can sign off on. We don't know if it's Matt Ishbia's plane. There's all these theories coming out now, right? So it's plausible. It's not impossible. From there, you whisk him away and you meet, you know, they could have gone to some private area somewhere. He's not going to be touring the campus. You know, he's not going to be hanging around the Breslin Center. He's not, you know, none of that, okay? I'm sure it was handled very, very discreetly. And anybody at any time can come out and say, nope, he was not there. Here's why. Here's how I know. Here's the metadata to prove it. And that's either going to happen or it's not. I think if this story dies on the vine, Justin, it's just going to fade into oblivion, right? And that's got a possibility of happening. And, you know, Bruce Feldman, look at Bruce Feldman's responses when he debunked what I said, all right? Oh, my God, right? Oh, yeah, sure, Urban's going to tell you the truth. Sure, he's going to admit it. Sure, he's going to tell you. Come on, man, that's just not the way the game is played. So there are a lot of nuances here, and you asked some very fair questions that I could not know the answer to those.
Yeah, you seem to have some idea, you know, from your past discussions, and we talked earlier today on the phone. I mean, you seem to have some concept of a timeline when they're trying to hire their coach, whether it's Urban Meyer or somebody else. Can you sort of talk about that a little bit? Where's Michigan State at right now? Are they trying to hire a guy tomorrow or in 3 months?
No.
Where are they at?
December. I asked that specific question to one of my moles, and they said that they'd like to make the hire in December, even if it's Urban Meyer. And they might have come to terms yesterday, and we'll never know. I don't know. I'm speculating. I'm just throwing that out there. But I was told they're not going to embarrass Harlan Barnett. They're going to let the season play out. They're going to play it out with dignity. Mark D'Antonio's there helping out. I don't really think the program's that far away, man. In this day and age of NIL and portal, if you got a guy like Urban Meyer in there, tell me he couldn't do what Deion Sanders is doing at Colorado fairly quickly. I really believe that. But to answer your question, I think we'll see a hire in December. I do. Not before.
Success at the college football level is never more than one phone call to Urban Meyer away. I mean, that's the reality. He's 4-for-4. And that's a big reason why I'm pushing forward and a lot of other Spartans are. I understand the reticence and the pushback, but the reality is the guy wins. He doesn't even know what failure looks like in the college ranks. And that's that. So until I see him miss a shot, I'm not going to bet on him missing any shots.
Well, you're a pretty thoughtful guy. And I think what you have to do is discernment is going to be your biggest ally here in the next 3 months. What do I mean by that? Just look at history. And I already mentioned that Urban denied vehemently he was going to Ohio State. It's all verifiable there on the internet. Same with Jacksonville. You remember when Dennis Erickson went to Miami, the head coach? He swore at reporters, I'm not going there, blah, blah, blah. He ends up in Miami. December 2006 or 5, Nick Saban, I'm not going to be Alabama's coach. Well, who did he get hired by 2 weeks later? Now, I've defended Nick, and I'll tell you why. Because he thought he was getting Drew Brees. Drew Brees was flying in. He didn't pass the physical. So Miami didn't sign him. A couple days later, Nick and his wife, Terry, they went to Wayne Huizenga's house on Christmas Day. They had a come-to-Jesus meeting. There were tears everywhere. Nick says, I can't do this without my quarterback. A couple days later, you saw the Wayne Huizenga press conference. He handled it alone, and he very much stuck up for Nick because it was handled in a very dignified fashion. But things have a way of changing. So Nick Saban goes from, I'm not going to coach at Alabama, to doing it. Dennis Erickson, same with Miami, and Urban Meyer's got a pattern of this. You just know how these things work. So you're going to hear a lot of subterfuge, I think, in the last 3 months. Doesn't mean he's coming. Doesn't mean he's not coming.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the focus is, and you even you're saying, you know, more than likely, he's not just statistically going to be the next coach at Michigan State. You're, I believe, I mean, give me, you tell me, I mean, what percent are you at? You said it kind of in passing. I want to pin that 30, down.
I said 30%. And largely,
that's high. Most people are going to think you're nuts. I'm not saying that, but.
Okay. We didn't know each other 18 months ago, but I went on with Aaron Torres and Jason Martin, Fox Sports. I do a little hit on Saturday night before my show. I said, Mel Tucker's about to get a big extension. No, he's going to LSU. I go, no, he's not. He's going to Michigan State. They're not letting him out. I said, he just beat Harbaugh back to back. He walks on water. Okay. And yes, LSU, and that's been debunked that he was ever offered. No, he was offered a lot of money to go to LSU. And he was offered a lot of money to go to Michigan State. It was reported he's going to LSU. People who claim they got bigger names than me, I stuck to my guns. He stayed at Michigan State. You remember he turned down the job the first time, didn't he?
Yeah, they had to circle back and bump up that assistant pool and
boom, his salary. There you go. Well, yeah. I was reporting that around that time, and people said I was nuts. But that didn't set the world on fire like this one because it didn't have anywhere near the national, you know, there's an old saying, Justin, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. Because the same emotion for love and hate is similar. You have to be very invested. You have to emotionally care, right? People have a position about the Urban Meyer thing, and you juxtapose it with Larry Nassar and what happened to Jacksonville and what happened with Mel Tucker, and it becomes that much more highly charged. Wasn't that way with Mel Tucker 2 years ago? I saved the time-stamped text I sent to Aaron Torres, 6:30 a.m. Pacific time on the morning Jim Harbaugh was flying to Minnesota. I said, Aaron, I'm sticking to my guns. He is not getting the job. Reach out to John U. Bacon. John's a friend of mine. You know who John U. Bacon is.
Yeah, he's been in the studio with me. He's a great guy.
John is not only a brilliant writer, and I don't know if you're a Michigan fan or not, but read Bo's Lasting Lessons. It's just such a compelling book. John and I are friends. He came out on that day and defended me all over Twitter, okay? Ask him. He'll remember. I'm not making this up. So I'm using the same methodology, the same sources, the same criteria in making a statement about Urban that I did back then.
No, I mean, Bernie, I get it. Like, I understand you have a defensiveness that I find very relatable because I get people bitching at me all day, every day. So I understand why you're leaning on your record. I already vetted you, man. I already know that you got the chops and that you've had a track record of delivering these things accurately. And I think I'm glad
and
that
I
you
apologize. And I apologize.
Oh, no, nothing to apologize for. I just want to clarify. You're already good.
Let me just say this, and you got the floor. I don't mean to come on like 30 yards of garlic. This isn't for your benefit. This is for the people watching that go, you know, did that guy have a frontal lobotomy a few years ago? No. People say anything they want on Twitter behind, you know, nameless, faceless names. There have been a few knuckleheads out there that have said some pretty vile stuff. Okay, have a nice day. That's for their benefit. And they still may or may not believe me. But I don't mean to be defensive toward you. I just think that we do keep coming back to the same juncture that if this then scenario, well, these people are going to think you're nuts. And I accept that, but there is a method of my madness.
So I presume I don't have access to Alan Haller's coaching search list or his preferred coaches list, but I presume this is not a binary situation where they're between this guy or that guy. So if you say Urban Meyer's at 30%, couldn't I argue that 30% might be more likely than anybody else, which by default and by definition makes Urban Meyer the leading candidate to be the next coach at Michigan State?
That's the purest form of deductive reasoning. But for him to be the leading candidate, there'd have to be definitive buy-in on both sides. You know, Cameron Crouch, who I think writes for the Lansing State Journal, I do not know him. He had an interesting comment to Bruce Feldman's proclamation.
Graham Couch. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Greg, I'm sorry, Cam. I got mixed up. I'm thinking Cameron Crowe, the movie guy. I love all.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a new LSJ writer I didn't know about, but yeah, I'm friends with Graham, so yeah, I know.
Yeah, oh, we're good. Well, I don't know him, but I respect him and I'm very familiar with his work. And he pretty much debunked Bruce Feldman, saying, "Yeah, this is the guy that just released a list that included Pat Narduzzi and PJ Fleck, and that there was no such list." Okay, so he seems like a pretty down the middle guy, but I cannot parse words like that and say anybody's a leading candidate. Honest to God, I can't make that leap because we don't know. I mean, we're morphing from they've had those exploratory discussions, which some people are still not going to believe, to who's a leading candidate. I don't think we're anywhere near that point. I will tell you this. I think if Urban said, I want the job, what do we got to do to negotiate this? I don't know. This might catch fire, because the booster people that you know, I would suspicion, you know, the same people. I don't know them, but my moles know them. There's some people with money that'd like to see this happen. Is that a fair statement?
That is 100% true. And something I've discussed on some of my content. Yes, I can back you up on that. There are people behind Urban Meyer at Michigan State, important people in the Michigan State community with influence, with some power, that love this idea.
Yeah, so we align on that one. So there is some embers burning in this fire that could catch fire in theory if enough of the right people want to make it happen. So then, you know, Urban has interest. Well, how do you quantify it on a scale of 1 to 10? I don't know. You know,
you got to that 30% though, Bernie. I mean, to me, 30% is really high. If you're talking about who's going to be the next coach, like even if you just go to the, you know, gambling sites, there's like 15 options on there and the first 9 are all clumped together. I mean, 30%.
I see it. Being a Vegas guy, I see it slightly different. I mean, if you went to the doctor and said, am I going to be alive next year at this time? And he says, Justin, I'll give you about 30%. Would you think that's high?
That's a binary circumstance. It's a binary hypothetical. If you're saying 30%, do you think anybody is more than 30% likely to be the next coach at Michigan State? Anybody in particular? I mean, probably not.
I would be journalistically irresponsible if I were to answer that question. Now, if you went behind the four walls of Michigan State and said, hey, wait, we want Lance Leipold, he might be the guy we want. So do you make him 50%? Well, what if he doesn't want to come to Michigan State? Or what if they can't come to financial terms? So you are right to assess an algorithm to this. However, we're dealing with factions of people that are going to have to come together. And I got to ask you, and Lance Leipold, phenomenal job at Kansas, phenomenal job at Wisconsin Whitewater. Everywhere the guy's won, he's won. But how excited are you going to be if Lance Leipold is your next guy? Who would you rather have, Urban Meyer or not Lance Leipold? Who's putting more butts in seats? But the people behind the four walls there, the Red Cedar, they may have a different criteria than you and I have. They may have a different mindset. So we don't really know what are the factors they're going to consider on who they make the final decision, who has the autonomy to make it, you know, as the sides line up and argue, and what will be the deciding factor. And what do they covet most in their next coach?
I know you can't tell me who your sources are. I wouldn't even bother asking. I'm curious if you can give me a little bit just general background, because you said there's three of them that you spoke to in formulating this report. Is this like two in one camp and one in the other camp? Like, are you more Michigan State source, more Urban source? Because your reporting seems to reflect mutual interest. Certainly, I would argue if he's meeting with them on Tuesday, that reflects a mutual interest. Like, just what kind of side are you coming from, or is it a little bit of both?
That's a very good question. It would be, for this particular reportage, 80% Michigan State sourced.
Okay, so you're getting sources at Michigan State or in and around Michigan State that indicate that they do have an appetite to hire Urban Meyer, at least to explore the possibility this is not dead on arrival, shut down, non-starter?
Oh, no. No, there are, and I know you can verify too. You know people. No, you saw my original tweet. He's got backers. Are we aligned on that? He's got some backers there.
100%. Yes.
Yep. And I put it right in my tweet.
I've been getting yelled at for talking about this spot. Now, I didn't report that there was injury, but I've been getting yelled at for promoting this idea and for saying that there were supporters within the community of Michigan State that mattered for like 3 weeks now. So I'm with you. We're kindred on that. I think people need to understand, because the most common thing I get, and I've seen it, people saying it to you, this is a 0% chance. Why are you even bothering? I can't speak to this alleged meeting on this past Tuesday, but I can speak to the other sort of background here in terms of the interest of Michigan State. And the reason why, other than it is kind of fun to do the pirate ship routine, we're having fun with it, but the reason I continue to push for it is because I see an opening there. It's something I want to happen, and I see an opening there from my conversations, the people that I've talked to that matter, that know. I've talked to enough people with enough influence to see an opening where this could happen, and I'm trying to push it more open so we can get there. That's my
personal motivation. All right, so let's just real quickly before we wrap up, attack this generically.
We're wrapping right now. We'll get you.
Justin, how familiar were you with the Hugh Freeze situation in the SEC several years ago?
It's bad. It's way worse than anything Urban's been accused of doing.
And where is Hugh Freeze currently coaching?
He's in the SEC.
He's at Auburn.
All right, yeah.
Head coach of Auburn. Rick Pitino years ago. Karen Cypress became a national name. Where's he now? Bobby Petrino's had three gigs.
He keeps getting man,
this is America. And the one thing I learned a long time ago, because not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to agree with you. We will always have including now, we have a sitting president in office when 70 million people voted for the other guy. But he still became president. So the fact that you're ever going to get some consensus or people are going to believe it, people can't see the future. Things have a way of organically working out on their own. And I didn't pose the question properly earlier, but none of us could have seen the demise of Mel Tucker 2 years ago the way it happened. But it happened suddenly. And now, you know, I mean, right after the Richmond game, when they're walking on the field, how many people wanted them fired? They didn't know anything. And then all of a sudden, boom, look what happens just a few weeks later. Now you've got this vacuum. My conversation, and I stumbled upon this very innocently. I wasn't looking for this story. I dug for the Harbaugh story a year and a half ago, and I did dig for the Mel Tucker story when he got the extension. This just, you got to be kidding me. So we got to just watch it. Right now, the story is, okay, did you talk or not? My moles say you did. You didn't? Please so state soon. Let's move on. I'm waiting.
My last question is, do you have any idea or did your sources indicate how the meeting went on Tuesday?
Yeah. Yeah. There are some obstacles. There are some obstacles in terms of what it may take to get Urban Meyer in terms of what he's going to require in terms of money and other accoutrements or whatever the heck that may be. But yeah, there are some obstacles, but it wasn't contentious. Negotiations always start that way, right? I mean, the UAW is on strike right now. Eventually, they're going to go back to work, but right now, it's very contentious. It just always works that way. There's posturing and such, but, you know, I would say this. There's an old joke, and since you said what we said before the show, I won't keep it clean, but I'll be respectful. Guy walks into a bar, sees the most beautiful girl he's ever seen in his life. He walks up to her and says, would you go to bed with me for $1 million? Just $1 million? Yes, I'll go to bed with you for $1 million. Well, would you go to bed with me for $10? What do you think I am, a whore? Because we've already established that. We're negotiating price now. If enough money comes at Urban and enough conditions, you'd be surprised how people can change their minds, including him. Am I predicting it? No. I'm just getting an avenue of possibility that to shut this down either way, in either absolute, I think is irresponsible at this point.
Well, if I were making the decision for Michigan State on their perspective and on their side, it wouldn't be a contentious negotiation. It would be, yes, sir, whatever you need. And we'll see as soon as you can get here. So, you know, that's my perspective within some semblance of reason. I'd make him the highest paid coach by 50%, figure it out. I know that the money guys are behind backing it, at least in part. So we'll see. I'm fascinated to see what happens with the Mel Tucker thing. A lot of new evidence coming there. Maybe Michigan State has more exposure to liability on that $80 million they thought they were saving. Is it 40? Is it all 80? Is it 10? I think that could be a factor, too. Not just with Urban Meyer, but for their appetite and ability to spend on anybody. I don't think they're going to go cheap under any circumstances, but I think that could be a factor, too. Do me a favor.
Justin, what was your degree in at Michigan State?
I have a journalism degree from Michigan State. Went to law school in Chicago at John Marshall and got my MBA at UNC.
I'm very impressed with your linear thought, your cognitive approach. Did you end up taking the bar, passing the bar?
No, I'm not practicing, so I wasn't even really interested. My parents.
I did the same thing.
Yeah,
we'll have a talk about that some other time. But no, I think that your intrepid reporting and investigation is outstanding in what you're doing. And I think let's draw a parallel, for instance, between the timeline and the and the information flow in the Mel Tucker saga, going back several months to now, and how it has, the arc has changed, as it were, and draw a timeline, because I think it'll be the same for Urban Meyer. I think you will see some days where this isn't going to happen. Some days, oh my God, I think it's going to happen. You know, we don't know. The challenge with what you and I do is people hear what they want to hear. They selectively hear what they want to hear, and they extrapolate something they've heard and morph it into something else. So I guarantee you, there are people out there, when I put that tweet out there, oh, look at this jabroni. He's saying Urban Meyer's been hired at Michigan. I never said that. I'm not saying it now, but I'm saying they're talking. There's the story. Now let's see where the story goes.
To me, that alone is a story. So
exactly.
I mean, and that's, you can draw conclusions from this meeting, if it, you know, did take place, irrespective of what Urban Meyer ultimately does. Because if they're bringing him there, it shows they have an appetite to spend big, get serious, and swing big, whether it's Urban or they try to get creative somewhere else or somehow else. That speaks to their intent. So there, you know, there's a theory out there, and I'm paranoid about it. I don't have any information. There's a theory that they're going to go cheap with the hire, you know, Tressel. Even Pat Narduzzi would be relatively cheap compared to other options. If they're bringing in Urban Meyer and trying to gauge his interest, talk numbers, they know going in that's going to be a big number. So that sort of betrays this idea that, oh, they're going cheap. So even if they don't hire him, the fact that, like, if we're believing your reporting, and I vetted you, man, I know that you believe it, at least
I do.
That says a lot about what Michigan State is at least trying to do, whether or not Urban Meyer lands here. So
certain factions are, we don't know if there's buying across the board, because 3 weeks ago I don't know the exact date Mel Tucker was officially fired. I know that when they suspended him, it was done. They were going through their due process. But I had heard, you remember Mark the Man Wilson. Okay, so Mark's very connected there. Mark was my radio partner. He lives out here in Vegas. We talk almost every day. Look, the narrative a couple of weeks ago was what you said, Justin. I heard the same thing. All right, let's not try to make a splash this time. You tried with Mel Tucker, it didn't work. Let's make sure we get a solid citizen in here and a good, you know. And I think half the room is, yeah, you know what, you're right. Let's regroup. And the other half is, what are you talking about? We want to win. I'm sick of this. We want to win. Who's going to have the louder voice in the room? Who's going to have the power in the room? That's something you and I just don't know. Someone's going to have to make that Clarence Darrow argument and show them that it's in your best interest to do this, and here is why. And it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, I mean, to me, just button on this, I don't think Urban Meyer, I don't think anybody with anywhere near his cachet, but especially not Urban Meyer, I don't think Urban Meyer gets on a plane and goes to East Lansing because a booster is interested to gauge his interest. I think he only gets on that plane to talk to the athletic director and or the president. That's just my guess. I can't imagine someone of his stature saying, he might say, hey, you know, Steve St. Andre, you can fly to me. I'll, you know, see at my house. He's not going to fly there unless Alan Haller and or the president are on board, interim basis or not.
He might have flew there to talk to Tom Izzo, for all I know. Tom's a shooter.
Yeah. If you ask Tom, he's too honest. He'll just tell you. So why don't we call him up, see if he saw Urban running around. I kept you way over, so I'll let you go. Keep in touch, though. Can I bring you back for an update if there is one at any point?
Certainly. This is a fluid story. I would leave you with this thought. I believe, and of course, not that it can change. We could sign off right now, and 5 minutes from now, Tom Brokaw could have breaking news. Urban Meyer ain't going anywhere. Hi, Urban. No, I'm not going anywhere. Right. Here's my wife, Shelley. No, he ain't going anywhere. Right. All right. But I think it's going to be a fluid story between now and December. And until I hear that Michigan State's hired a coach not named Urban Meyer, or it's been definitively debunked, where I've had enough, I'm not coming back, and it's sold, like Tom Brady a few months ago, no, I've had it, I'm done. You can see the look on his face. I saw relief. I covered him at Michigan. He's done. Argue with me all you want. This time he's done. You can see that. And I'm waiting for that, if it happens. Or as the clock ticks and we get closer to December, I just think this remains fluid. I do. So we can talk anytime you want.
I'll bring you back. Is you got to tell me. I'm going to be waiting for an update from you. I'm not going to know. Maybe I will, and then I'll call you. But
we have had what I would consider to be a modicum of an update, meaning that, you know, if they were to do this, it wouldn't be till December. Harlan Barnett, demands are pretty out there. But, you know, the gentleman we talked about earlier today on the phone, he's ready to pony up the money. Those things have kind of come out. Now I think it's going to be a little dormant for a while unless someone wants to shut it down.
Well, I mean, I don't think it does get shut down unless I hire somebody else. I mean, that's what you just said. I think you agree with that. So they already did shut it down. I mean, even if Michigan State came out and said it, I'm not sure I would believe it. You know,
I wouldn't believe a single word, any proclamation that anybody says. And I've just given the same five examples.
Let's stay in touch. Bernie, honestly, I appreciate your time. I know you're in high demand and you're telling me what I want to hear. So even though I was challenging you and pushing back on some of the stuff, it's just trying to do my job on my end. In my heart, I just want to, you know, give you a hug and say, please tell me more good news, because there's not a lot of good news going around. And you were giving me the affirmation I need in a dark and dreary year for Michigan State.
So. I'm a glass half full guy. And are you a baseball fan?
Diehard, probably my favorite.
So yeah. I have a saying, anything can happen. Bob Uecker once hit a home run off Sandy Koufax. So keep your chin up. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Good way.
Now my darn phone's ringing off the hook. Forgive me, Justin. Let's talk again, pal.
We'll see you. Bernie Fratto, thank you so much for your time. Yeah, he is in high demand, making 3-4 appearances a day minimum. You know, I know he keeps adding more and more. Look, you know, I people have been asking me, do I buy it? I buy that he buys it. And so going through the vetting process and talking to people that know Bernie and, you know, two of the four people I spoke with, I've never even seen in person, you know, more of like a Twitter DM relationship, but two of them I know pretty well. And all four said, Bernie's an honest guy, smart guy. He's not a charlatan. If he is saying these things, he really believes it. And not just that he really believes it, he's not reckless with what he says he believes. So there's two different pillars there. So I don't know Bernie. I've never met him. Our conversations, you know, other than what we just did in front of all of you, I met him at the same time you guys did, other than a brief phone call. You know, I can't personally vouch for Bernie, but I can tell you four people that worked with him can. And I can tell you I found the reports that he was talking about. He was early on that Harbaugh Minnesota stuff. He was early on the Tucker stuff with LSU, and you know, he checked out to me. So I will say, I personally believe that he's pretty sure this is a true thing. And you know, it's crazy. I knew there was an appetite for Urban Meyer and East Lansing with some of the power players. I heard that it was not well received necessarily with the people, with official titles. And that seems to be the reporting from Bernie as well, that Alan Haller, you know, not that shot down necessarily, but doesn't love the idea or didn't love the idea when it was first broached. But again, I would argue if we're taking Bernie at his word and his source's words, and it's triple sourced, according to him, Meyer's not there unless Alan Haller's at least willing to take the meeting. And I don't even think Urban Meyer would get on that plane, you know, to sing for his lunch. I don't think he would necessarily need to have the offer in hand. You know, I think, you know, even Urban Meyer understands that there's going to have to be some kind of conversation there, and you sit down and it's not necessarily a grilling or a job interview in the traditional sense. It's a conversation, you know, where are you at? What are you thinking? If you were to come here, what would it look like? What would you need from us? You know, kind of, there's a little back and forth there. So, you know, I don't know. I just don't think there's any way. Doesn't make any sense that Urban Meyer gets on a plane to meet with Michigan State unless the relevant people are on board to take that meeting. He's not getting on the plane to talk to Steve St. Andre or Matt Ishbia. I honestly, I don't even think he would go there to meet Tom Izzo. Not in this context. I mean, I'm sure he respects Tom Izzo, but why am I flying there to like hang out with the coach? I mean, as influential as he is, and I think Tom Izzo needs to be on board if this happens, I don't think he goes there to meet with Tom Izzo. I think it's got to be Alan Haller. I would even leave the president out of it. I think it has to be Alan Haller if we believe Bernie and his sources. So if that is the case, the biggest potential impediment to this Urban Meyer thing happening, from my understanding and apparently Bernie's, was Alan Haller. So if we're both talking to some of the same people, and I don't know all the sources, but you know, we had some overlap when we talked and some not. But if we're both agreeing independently that Alan Haller was the most relevant potential roadblock to this happening, not that he put his foot down, not that he said no way, just that there was some reticence there is what we were both told. If that's true, and we can make the argument that Alan Haller almost definitely would have had to be the one to extend this invitation to come to East Lansing for this meeting with Urban Meyer, maybe 30% isn't too high. I don't know. You know, I'll be honest with my audience, though. I want this to happen so badly for Michigan State, and I think it's such a no-brainer that I have to kind of power down. I don't have like an objective lens. I try to be really measured in how I assess these things and technical and kind of scientific method and sort of test different ideas about how this could work and what it would look like and what makes sense. And I think I'm, for full disclosure, kind of compromised on this particular topic because I can't imagine a situation where I wanted a coach for one of my teams more than I would like Urban Meyer in East Lansing. So I think relevant to out myself there as maybe coming in with a little bias in my receptiveness to this. I understand the pushback when Bruce Feldman, the guy on the you know the mount, is you know really respected guy. I would argue probably the top in terms of college coaching football jobs. I mean, he's the top guy. He's like the Adam Schefter in that lane. And you know, he comes out, and if he's kind of putting it down, I get that, oh, what else is Urban going to say? I don't think Feldman relays that just because Urban was saying what he had to say. I don't think Feldman, based on his reputation, which is incredible and impeccable, would you know just bother shouting it down if he didn't believe Urban was genuinely not interested. That's just my guess. I think Feldman has the credibility that we should you know, grant him that. But you know what? We all get stuff wrong. Feldman could be wrong and Urban could change his mind. And that's one phone call away with a big check. And I don't know, there's too many moving parts to get this thing done. We have no idea if Michigan State's on the hook for 80 million, 0 million, 40 million, or whatever between these numbers for the Mel Tucker contract. The evidence that came out today, you be the judge. Mel Tucker released some interesting stuff about Brenda Tracy. And, you know, it's even though the Title IX aspect of this is separate from any wrongful termination, there is going to be some overlap there because it's the same background story. It's the same scenario that got you in both waters. So I understand and have been the biggest sort of proponent of this idea. You got to separate the contract dispute from the Title IX hearing. Those are two different findings. They could be in conflict. They could agree with each other, whatever. But this hearing that's going on tomorrow with Brenda Tracy and I guess Mel Tucker's representative, Mel won't be present. Does it determine the outcome of this contract and the wrongful termination ruling? No. But it could be instructive, you know, because the judge is going to look at the whole set of facts. And if Mel Tucker's dropping evidence bombs that look like Michigan State didn't even want to see the stuff that he was trying to show them that might mitigate his, you know, culpability and his role in creating shame here. Because what created shame? It was the filing of the complaint by Brenda Tracy. Now, you could argue if Brenda Tracy's telling the truth, it was caused by Mel Tucker doing it. Because you don't want to like victim blame and say, oh, it's her fault for filing. But I'm just saying, like, how did it get out? How is this a public thing that eventually led shame? It's Brenda Tracy filing the report. Now, if the report was true, that's Mel Tucker's fault. But if it's not true, the public disrespect didn't come from his relationship with a vendor. The disrespect came from the allegation and the sort of embarrassing nature of the allegation. And if that allegation is, you know, the veracity of it is undermined, you know, let's say these new piles of evidence, this Title IX hearing goes off tomorrow and, you know, it's ruled. Honestly, I'm going to rule in favor of Tucker. I don't see much there. Like, there's a lot of exculpatory evidence that, you know, this was a consensual relationship. But I'm speculating, but let's say that happens. And we've already seen some of the evidence Mel Tucker has that seems to point in the direction and gives you good cause to question Brenda Tracy's credibility. That's going to play a part in this contract. You know, it's they are separate issues, but they are linked because, again, Mel Tucker's legal team is going to argue especially if the Title IX hearing goes his way, he's going to argue the public contempt and ridicule stemmed from a false allegation against me. And I had evidence to exonerate myself, and you guys didn't even want to respond to my email about my family. You weren't receptive to my challenges on Brenda Tracy's account. So Tucker has a good argument there. I'm not saying I agree with it. I still think Michigan State does have cause to fire him for the vendor relationship, but it's flimsier because I could easily argue, Mel Tucker's attorneys, I would argue, are going to argue, it was Brenda Tracy's false claim. Nobody was mad at Mel Tucker for having a consensual relationship with a vendor, even though it technically violates the contract. They don't fire them for that if they're 10-2, 12-0. I think we understand that. Now, if there's harassment, that's different. But if he's telling the truth and the Title IX hearing goes in his favor and he's viewed as the more credible witness in this situation between the two, that's going to get dicey. And that leads us to the third issue. Next coach at Michigan State. What can they spend? I don't care how generous Steve St. Andre or anybody is. The difference between we're on the hook for $60 million or zero, or $80 million or zero, or 20, you're all over the map for how that might affect what they do. So, you know, everyone's calling in the Valeni saying, oh, they got an $80 million pot to play with. We don't know that yet. So I'm fascinated to watch it and follow this whole story. This has been a crazy week at Michigan State with all the Urban stuff that dropped, you know, in a big way with the Bernie report. And, you know, we saw the manifestations of that, and he ends up on our show. Obviously, there's always going to be a battle between Brenda Tracy and Mel Tucker over the next couple of years, I would imagine. There's going to be leaks, and there's going to be statements, and it's going to be a mess. We're going to try to do our best the whole way. I appreciate Bernie joining us. Really interesting guy. I look forward to talking to him again. We'll be on it, whatever we end up doing here. Believe that, we're going to be covering it. I'm looking forward to this whole process ending on the Mel Tucker side. I'm looking forward to this process culminating in the Urban Meyer side. I hope we get there. Off the Curve, Justin Spiro. Thanks.